Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What are the core issues? And yes, we are all human and we have one or two, at least a few screws loosened at any given time. So where and when are we applying compassion, right? Just because I love somebody doesn't mean I have to like what they do. Doesn't mean I have to participate with them. And then it goes down to also, it's like, what are my abandonment issues? What are my attachment issues? What are, you know, like, why am I so afraid to lose a said person?
D-I-V-O-R-C-E-P-A-R-T-Y. Thank you so much for listening to Divorce Party. We really appreciate it. If you like this podcast, we'd love it if you could leave us 5 stars on Spotify podcasts or Apple podcasts. And if you want to see our lovely faces, we do have a YouTube channel where you can watch the episodes and be sure to like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Divorce Party Podcast. Welcome to Divorce Party with Monica Casey and Tom Arnold. Our guest today is Nicole Ambrosia. She's an embodiment and tantra coach, a sensual movement instructor, wellness educator, fitness coach, and feminine empowerment mentor. Please welcome to the show, Nicole Ambrosia. Hey, Nicole. Hello.
Hi.
Tom should be on any second.
Hello. How are you?
Awesome. Tom, this is also my first time meeting Nicole.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I was going over your amazing bio. You have so many tools in the toolbox. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got into it?
Yeah. So I'll start with the ladies. So I'm calling it Ladies Lusciousness Liberator. We are coming into a new paradigm of sexual liberation on our planet. And it's not quite like it was in the 60s. It feels less like women, we're not trying to be like men, right? So that was like the sexual liberation of the 60s. We're like, we're sexually free, we can fuck whoever, and that's cool, and we're going to be more like men. Well, this sexual liberation frequency is coming into being more like the nature of being more like feminine nature as it is in nature, right? And so I feel this coming through collectively. I feel like women need guidance on what it means to connect to their femininity, not through the cognitive mind, programming, conditioning, or any sort of media paradigm. What am I trying to say? Or through like the culture, right? But what it feels like and what it is in terms of nature. So we're never stressing, like nature never stresses to force. It's not a forcing sort of thing. We're not forcing ourselves to be feminine. And that's not how nature works. it's what it is relaxing into the essence of our being so that we can create from the void, which is what the feminine is meant to do, to be relaxed, to be yin, right? Yin and yang, going deeply into yin. And yes, sometimes women are excited about going into their yang energy. But what I do in the luscious, the ladies lush as the ladies lusciousness liberator, ladies lusciousness liberation, is exactly what it sounds like. It's holding space for women to let go, right? To let go of whatever is blocking them, that is stagnant, that is dense in their bodies, so that they can liberate their lusciousness, they can liberate their essence, so that they can experience, right, of the full freedom, the full liberation of who they are in their essence. And this doesn't have to do with force. This doesn't have to do with pushing people to be somebody they're not. It has everything to do with encouraging women to deepen into who they are, their authenticity, and to create more space and freedom, starting with the physical body. So connecting them to the visceral, connecting them to their energy field, to their breath, and to their life.
Okay, I have one question before, sir. I looked at all your stuff, and I did. There's photos there. You have great posture. I mean, great posture. My posture, I notice, I made a video with my kids, and I'm hunching. I'm like my grandpa. I jumped over my dad. Now I'm kind of, what do you do to, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger talks about this a lot, but keep it back just so you don't go like this.
It's a constant awareness. So being mindful, even in the moment, like, how are you sitting right now? Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's
I'm going to straighten up.
It's not just practicing, like, I'm going to spend an hour practicing my posture. You mm-hmm. practice posture all the time, being mindful moment to moment, how you're carrying yourself through time and space. Right? Because essentially your posturing, it relates back to the brain in any given moment. So if you're hunching forward, you're contracting like the heart area. Like, what are you afraid to, like, when your shoulders are back, this is like viscerally represents courage. Like, you can feel it in your body. Like, what am I not being courageous about? What am I like? What am I shirking from? Do I feel like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders? Right. And then a lot of it too is being able to open up so you can breathe and expand that space. But also it's core strength too, because as the shoulders go back, we don't want to hold the back. That's not good posture. But pulling in the strength of the core area, which is our willpower. So it strengthens the willpower and we open the heart, strengthen the will. And then we lengthen through the crown of the head.
I mm-hmm. love, I remember from doing Pilates, they would always say, pretend there's a string pulling you straight out of the top of your head.
Yeah. Well, even like in, you know, ballet, it's like through the back. So it's like the chin is back and in yoga, there's the bandhas or the body locks, right? So there's Mula Bandha, Uddiyana Bandha, Jalandhara Bandha. Or wait, maybe I'm missing one. But it's called the jaw lock. It's the jaw lock. So it brings it back. The line of energy can run succinctly up and down.
I have a question about, so you were talking about helping women, you know, get through blockages. What do you think are some of the main blockages that women, and then we can get to men too, are experiencing today, in today's world?
The first thing that comes up is women being stuck in the mind, using the thinking thing to get things done, to also getting to, you know, forcing things to happen. I have to, which takes the feminine out of creativity, right? So when women are in the mind and spend too much time in the thinking thing, trying to figure things out, she's not able to fully drop into the essence of her being and into her real feminine nature, which is creative, which is wise, which is fluid and flowing and responsive to the moment, right? The feminine essence is in response to, it's responding. Masculine is initiating. And I'm not saying that it's inappropriate for a woman to ever respond or to ever initiate anything. But it is a beautiful practice, because the more I find that I myself practice being in feminine, being in response to the moment, and really feeling in my body. And this is what another place, so it's the mind and the body. The body gives us signals on whether something is good for us or not, right? So if something turns me on, my pussy gets a little wet. I'm like, ooh, that feels nice. That feels, yes, I feel a little turned on by that. Or like my aura will totally shut down, and that's a no. So when women do not listen to these cues of their body, they get themselves into some really, I mean, some extreme situations, some less extreme situations. And then also the work structure is not designed for women. It's designed for men to go to work every day. This raises the feminine cortisol levels, and they're not listening to their bodies. We live in a structured society, a societal structure where women, they are punished for even having the faintest desire to honor their bodies on their monthly cycle. Yeah, maybe we can get 10 times as much done when we're ovulating and we want to be out there and we want to go get it. But guess what? When we're premenstrual, we want to sleep and we want to eat and we need to nurture ourselves. So we're not like the construct that's created in the 9-to-5 society where women feel like they are being forced into this, and they're forced. There's a lot of force happening that's outside the cycle of their nature, simply because they're not even encouraged to listen to their bodies, right? Just their physical requirements of their body, and not just to say like, okay, I need rest, I need this, I need that, but also in responding, like, this man wants to make out with me. I think that I like him maybe, and if I don't, then maybe he'll stop liking me. So I think I'm going to do it, even though all of my body signals are saying, run the fuck away.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Okay. Okay. Let's say you all of a sudden realize I have a tingle in my pussy or what? And that's the thing. And you acknowledge it, you feel it. And then do you have to do something about it immediately? Can you put it in the back of your head and pull it out later to, you know, because I always ask myself that, like I do as a man, the same thing. Once in a while I go, huh? And I think, should I jerk off right now or should I save it and maybe even jerk off better by putting all of that together at night? How do you handle it?
I mean, I could be furniture shopping and get excited about furniture. It's not the same. Like if it's a tingle. Just because I'm getting a pussy tingle doesn't mean I need to go masturbate. Does that make sense? So my masturbation practice is specified to more like of a ritual. Like there's intention behind it because it's an act of creation. And so I honor it as such. But it's just a compass for me to be like, okay, my aura is opening to this. I'm going to witness this feeling in my body, and I'm going to also observe what is happening as far as what kind of stimuli is happening. It's like wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. Okay, this caught my attention. Not everything deserves my attention. So when something catches my attention, I feel a visceral experience. And I'm watching it or whatever. Maybe I'm not interacting with it. I'm just watching it.
Mm. And then is this a class that you teach in Los Angeles or online?
Yeah, so I teach in Los Angeles. I'm getting the online platform going. I was doing the Zooms, but there was like so many technical difficulties. I was just like,
we know.
If you're blessed enough to be in Los Angeles and can come to a live class, that's when you'll get the most out of the medicine. So I'm in Marina Del Rey with these classes with the ladies at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thursdays and Fridays.
Mm-hmm. And then, and you've started working with men too, yes?
I started recently working with men. So how that happened was I hired a business coach because I'm like, all right, I need help in that area. How do I go to the next level with my business? Yeah. And he said, okay, you work with women. And I said, well, I feel like because a lot of my girlfriends and male friends are like, you need to like, please, can you work with men? And I'm like, okay, to what capacity? So I was thinking about that. you know, and even one man, he was like doing a men's retreat. He's like, maybe next year you can speak for us on behalf of feminine energy. And I was like, I would be so honored. So that, so it kind of just started trickling in from my orbit. Mm-hmm. And so then I was talking to the business coach and he's like, okay, well, you want to refine your niche market. And I'm like, okay. He's like, do you want to focus on men right now? Or do you want to focus on women? Which one excites you more? And so that's when, yeah, like men started coming up. So that's when I did a little bit of a shift. So now I'm like, yes. And, but working with men is so beautiful at the capacity of like, of coaching, Zoom calls, weekly calls, group calls, because it, you know, I'm also witnessing with men that there is a lot of resistance, fears within themselves, and in particular relating to feminine energy. So this isn't just for men who want to get their dick wet. This isn't like, you know, like how to, like, it's like not dating tricks to get them in bed with you. This is for men who really want to have an epic relationship with feminine energy and want to go deeper within themselves to do so, and who are willing to do the work and who can be disciplined in their energy.
I love that.
That makes sense. Now, you know, the '50s. If you look back at life in the '50s, it seems very oppressive for women. You know, also it was a life where mostly the men went and worked in a factory all day, so, which is not ideal. And the women are expected to stay home, cook the kids. I mean, now that we have some time to look at that, we're like, oh my God, that makes me, I can't breathe even thinking about it. And then, as you said, in the '60s. There was a sexual revolution where women are like, that's it. And, you know, that there's more. There's more. No matter what religion or no matter what, you know, society tells me, there is more. And I feel like people burst out of that coming into the '70s, where they were able to actually pass laws that were helpful to women and try to get financial equity and things. And then do you feel like, it went backwards a little bit, because every movement, you know, they tend to go so far out, and then people are like, oh, no, we got to pull that in a little bit. And, you know, because I hear a lot on TV and things about men this, women this. We women are not feminine enough. Women, men are too feminine. Women are, you know, there's a lot of judgmental on the right. Do you feel, do you deal with any of that stuff? Is that kind of what, you know, helping women that felt like, oh, I need to be the tough guy. I need to do everything. I got it. I'm going to ignore my femininity because that's going to hurt me in the workplace. It's going to hurt me. Do you feel like that's kind of what you do to help them?
So what's your specific question?
Well, it's kind of about, you know, because society, you know, there's some rules, unfortunately, in society, this, that. 50s is one way. 60s, people are like, oh, no, we're all in. And now I hear a lot on television. I hear a lot about men that are feminized, and they're not real men. And women are not feminine, and they're not real women. Now, I don't care what those people say, but certainly because of the workforce and having to get it, and that changing and everything, it seems like that would be an opportunity for you to work on celebrating a person's femininity. Is that kind of what you do with?
So I just want to address a few things, like what you were saying about the timeline, right? So time is an interesting thing, because when we think about time, when we live in linear time, we experience it as one thing after the other, right? But how time actually works is, and it's not even now, there's not even such thing as a now moment, right? Live in the now. There's no such thing as now, because you can't capture it. There's nothing to capture. We're always in flux. What nature teaches us is that there are cycles. We are in cycles. This is a cycle. This is an age. This is an era. This is a year. This is the big wheels keep on turning. So, and as we progress through time, the lessons circle back around at a higher octave, right? So we're at this age where we are essentially, we're going through time, and our lessons here on this planet at this time, quote unquote, is simply for us to have this human experience to evolve. Right. So I'm not saying that anything that happened in the past was not supposed to happen. It did happen. And then therefore, that's what was supposed to happen for our evolution. Right. And so that's how it is. And you can even bring it to as below. As below, we're experiencing ourselves as individuals go through these processes in order. And we can create any story we want about whatever happened that we wanted. But the truth of the matter is we experience these challenges in order to learn and grow. Sometimes we need to swing way back to the other end to be like, hey, that feels fucked up, to kind of go the other way and kind of swing somewhere back in the middle, right? The middle path to enlightenment, the middle path to surrender, the middle path to all of this. And what I would say is, if anybody is watching TV or getting any sort of information on TV, my highest recommendation is to just throw it in the trash and to never turn that shit back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On again, not even for one single minute, because that is entirely disempowering to any single person who would subscribe to any bit of information on there for 1 second. Okay. And so my work here on right now is to help people align with their highest sovereignty and their highest authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. So the most powerful people on this planet right now are not those who seek to have control and conquer and have dominion over others. It is those who have conquered themselves, who have gone through the process itself, right? And who aspire, who can gracefully and courageously go through the lessons in the process so that they can be an example in leadership for others to follow. These are the most powerful people. And these are the people who are sovereign of mind, body, and spirit, meaning they have transcended the limiting belief systems, paradigms, contracts, and programs of a culture and a society that does not give one single fuck about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you were talking about going through struggle to grow from it. And I feel like the overlying theme for this podcast is going through the struggle or the pain of a divorce to come out the other side, a better person, a better parent, a better authentic self. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience of that?
Sure. So I've been in many relationships. And my favorite thing about relationship, and I love men, by the way, is that these are expedited opportunities for evolution, because what the other represents is an aspect of self, right? So the other represents an aspect of self. So if I'm giving energy to time, energy, attention, nurturing, because love, because I ended up in this sort of situation because I got my oxytocin all activated because I had sex with him too soon. And then all of a sudden we're in this really intense relationship and we're just not compatible, or I actually don't like this person, or I actually do not respect this person. there's been a lot of lessons in getting, or this person is a straight up addict, or, you know, but there's been a lot of me, from my experience, getting into relationship, because this is my process personally of what I needed to learn to not only know what I don't want, what I do want, but also what I require, what I will not ever tolerate in my experience, and to learn like what kind of fucked up shit is actually out there so that I can not be so naive and being more cautious, but also, right? So then there is that, but then also I can be compassionate to those who have been so wounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you, would you consider a relationship? And I like the way you described the beginning, middle, and end of different things, and then moving on and evolving. But are you talking about, do you encourage monogamous relationships, or do you have, or is it sort of the, every, you know, everything's in flux and it could be whatever? How do you deal with that?
So I'm not a moralist. I'm not here to tell people what to do. You know, maybe people are need to experience polyamory for a second before they're like, you know what, that's not dope for me. And I went through that process. I experimented and now I know. And so now I just want to go back to what feels correct for me in a monogamous situation, because that definitely feels more stable. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't want to say something specific that I think for myself, because I believe everybody, like, I want to honor everybody's process in that regard, and so that they can go through the process to discover what it is they truly absolutely want, right? Because if I'm living wondering, or I'm living in resistance to, or I'm trying to find some reasons and more reasons to feel guilty about myself, then the mind can be very, very tricky. But if I open up the everything and say, I'm going to experiment with polyamory, I'm going to experiment with swinging, I'm going to experiment with this, to really litmus test what actually does make me feel good and like what works for me. Yeah. That being said, I do believe that there is potential. Like, humans, we're not naturally monogamous. We're just not. And this is seen through evolution through since the dawn of time. Like, we're not monogamous. And also, we are, right? So that's like base level animalistic programming. But as I'm witnessing more and more consciousness coming in, I'm also experiencing within myself the desire for stability, to go to keep going deeper, to keep opening the levels of consciousness with somebody who can meet me at the cosmic level, right? And because the truth of the matter is we are equally as infinite and majestic and beautiful as the entire universe, each and every one of us, so long as we want to experience that within ourselves and another person. So I've experienced going deeper and creating more intimacy with one person, and that being my preferred thing, right? But we do live in like a microwave culture where we're into instant gratification and satisfaction without ever giving ourselves the opportunity to, one, go deep within ourselves first, let alone going deep with another person. And now I'm not having any judgments with that reality. I'm just saying that, you know, when people are doing that, it gets into this depressive cycle. There's no actual fulfillment in these sort of interactions.
Do you feel like by going, being more intimate with yourself and working on yourself and, you know, going deeper to know yourself, obviously, I mean, I would think, do you think it helps you in relationships, especially if you meet somebody that's there as well? Does it help you weed people out faster?
Yeah, you can know within seconds. You can. Well, then also being as intuitive as I am, it's like picking up on a vibe, right? Picking up on a vibe, and I feel viscerally whether it's a yes or a no, or maybe I need to learn something from this person. This might be 100% no, but I need to go on a date with him to get the lesson from that. There's information there for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
I love how you talked about women, or just people in general, doing the, I should, or I have to do this. When you were, you know, say recovering from a divorce or a long relationship with someone, what are some of the healthy ways that you found to heal yourself that you could tell the listeners that, you know, might help someone?
So any form of betrayal is self-betrayal, right? Mm-hmm. And so when in relationship, everything comes up, it's not an it's not an isolated experience, because the relationship is a deeper reflection of any distortion that's happening with an individual, right? So if one is prone to self-betrayal, they are prone, it'll display perhaps as cheating in a relationship, correct? Mm-hmm. So it's just the way that it plays out. So if I am experiencing, so what I would recommend to all, every single human being, is to take every bit of blame out of it. And I would go so far as to say, if you believe for one second that they did that to you, this is a holographic reality. You did that to yourself through that person. So instead of being the victim, say, what do I like about that abusive behavior? Why am I abusing myself through that person? There's always a lesson in that, right? Yeah. So, but if I experience betrayal in the other person, and it's like, okay, I see how, you know, I am betraying myself through that person. And then I'm also witnessing that person is so willing to just betray themselves. I don't want to be all tied up in that frequency. I have a zero tolerance policy about that. So namaste, it's been real. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of lesson in gracefully moving on, right? Gracefully and compassionately moving on. Like I even, you know, there was even this one influencer says, oh, cheaters are all rotten. And I said, that is very dehumanizing. Like you, like what is the core issue? The core, what are the core issues? And yes, we are all human and we have one or two, at least a few screws loosened at any given time. So where and when are we applying compassion, right? Just because I love somebody doesn't mean I have to like what they do. Doesn't mean I have to participate with them. And then it goes down to also, it's like, what are my abandonment issues? What are my attachment issues? What are, you know, like, why am I so afraid to lose a said person? And usually when it comes to the feminine, which is why it takes 6 months to a year after you know it's over to move on, is because we want to protect our sense of safety. Women walk through this world feeling unsafe just by being a woman, simply and because, right?
Yeah. Do you think men wait a certain amount of time, or are they, when they're done, it's like in that moment, oh, I'm done.
I'm not sure, because everybody, I feel like men are different. And men, like once, I feel like what determines that is the amount men have actually invested in a relationship. Mm. Men will cheat to save a relationship. Does That's that make sense?
Yeah. It's, tell me, I'm curious about how you got here, your childhood. Can you give a description of what that was like for you growing up and what your childhood was like?
So I grew up in San Luis Obispo County on the Central Coast, in the Central Coast of California. Gorgeous, beautiful. My grandmother lived on the property with us. My father is an engineer, or was an engineer. He's retired. My mother is an RN. They're still together. I have grew up with three brothers, two dogs, chickens, ducks. We raised turkeys, garden in the backyard, literally a white picket fence.
Amazing. I'm jealous.
In front of our home. Yes. I was a gymnast. I was a competitive gymnast my entire childhood.
So that's probably one of the things too, to, you know, be in tune with your body. I feel like gymnasts have to be connected immensely to do that.
You can't fuck up. You can't fuck that up, you know, for safety.
So you grew up and it sounds like a all American perfect scenario, chickens, brothers, mom, dad, still together. Mom's a nurse, dad's an engineer. And then how do you think you got into the business you're in? Because if it seems like that would, maybe in San Luis Obispo, it is, you know, but it seems like a unique, modern business life that you have. And have your family, are they all in on it? Or so, did they ever worry about you? Or how does that work?
They've always worried about me.
Yeah.
I'm the psychedelic sheep of the family, right?
Yeah.
So I was supposed to go to, like the path that I was on was to go to Stanford on a full ride gymnastics scholarship with my, you know, my valedictorian boyfriend and my 3.5 and above GPA, right? So that was, that was up until I was 18. Starting at 15, I started doing yoga with my grandmother because I sustained some injuries, and she just found a morning TV show with Steve Ross, Exhale, and she started recording on cassette tapes.
That's awesome.
On VHS tapes, right?
Yeah.
And so she's like, okay, well, will you do this with me? And I said, absolutely, yes. So we started doing yoga together. That's when I started my yogic path, right? And then I started getting interested, like, just very naturally in spirituality. Like, I'd always been very intuitive, but when I was young, it wasn't encouraged, and I would, kind of tune it in, tune it out, turn it off, turn it on. And I'd always been a sensitive child. Like, I couldn't watch television. Like, television made me feel really bad. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't watch scary things. And I didn't do it. And I was very fidgety and very in my own world. I needed to move. And so I didn't, even as a child, didn't spend a lot of time watching TV or in media. And at 18, I just stopped completely. I stopped subscribing to, buying magazines or participating in that in any way, shape, or form. And my upbringing was very strict. Very strict, as go to bed at this time. It was very military, militant. And I joke around also, like, I was raised Asian. My grandmother is Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived, and so I was taught a lot of Japanese etiquette, right? So, and I thought this was normal stuff. So I was we don't do facials every day, we do our hair, right? So she taught me how to bathe and how to dress and how to, have proper posture, no elbows on the table, right? So all these etiquette sort of things, which I think is it would be really nice to bring this back, which is why I'm creating and I'm going to launch very soon the Fit for a Queen Finishing School.
Oh my gosh. Is that something that, because you're a mom, right? You have a daughter?
Yeah.
I do,
I have a
too.
Son, 10.
Oh, you have a son. Okay.
I have a
son.
How old are your kids?
My one son is 10 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Great. My daughter's almost 10.
Hold on. My son's 10. My daughter's 8.
How do you, do you pass any of that down to your son? Or are you just kind of let him figure it out?
Well, my son is a Virgo, so he is very structured and prudent, and he's already, awesome. I don't think I do, he won't listen to me anyway. I'm a wild one compared to him already, and I believe that, I believe it was Gabor Mate who said that the success of a child isn't whether or not, the emotional thriving nature of a child isn't dependent on whether the parents stay together, whatever is happening on that level, whether she's working or so, it has to do with the happiness of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
How happy mother is, the child will be emotionally as healthy as the mother is happy.
So where can people find you if they want to connect and take your course? And do you ever, just one back end, do you ever work with couples?
I love working with couples.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a little while, right? So I've been working with the genders separately. But couples are amazing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can
find me
on Instagram. I'm nicole.ambrosia. And my website is auragasm.org. That's auragasm.org. And so those links will be active soon. Mm-hmm. So I believe what I'm bringing in that's unique, right, is a level of refinement. Of course, women are dramatic and chaotic and emotional and expansive in that way. That's just the nature of the feminine, right? So, but like the intention through these classes is to take all of this energy that we feel and to refine it into grace and elegance so we can walk through the world with this, because there's more, we're more powerful when we do that.
I like that. That's good.
I love it. I'm going to come take one of your classes.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I look forward
to it. Well, thank you. You've been totally unique. We've done a lot of interviews, and it's always fun to hear someone that has a great story and came from a place and now does this. And it's also a mom and, you know, is open and can talk about sexual things, frankly, and get people's attention. And then also honest about sort of the stuff they've been through and make perhaps mistakes they've made, or I don't know if you consider mistake, but lessons they've learned. Because we're all trying to get better. The whole point of this thing, how do I be a better man, a better father? What can I take from this thing? And I think there's a lot of nuggets from this thing that I'm going to take.
Yeah, so for men, I just want to do a little shameless promo, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
So for the ladies, the program, they can DM me or email me through the website, is Fit for a Queen Finishing School. Okay, so I'm taking pre-signups for that. And then the men, it's called BDEN90. So it's like P90X for Big Dick Energy.
Yes.
Well, good. Yeah.
I love that. Amazing. Thank you so much,
Thank
Nicole.
You very much.
Thank good you so
you.
Much.
You're a groundbreaker. You're an original, and we need more of you everywhere.
Yes.
Thank you, Nicole.
I'll come to your class soon. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.